this, we are saved. What does it mean to be saved? That's one of the things we've been looking at this week as we've gone through Romans chapter 7. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and this is Trust the Bible. And the purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And as you've heard me emphasize this week, by when I say the Bible is true, I mean the whole Bible is true. When I say the Bible is the ultimate resource for life, I mean the whole Bible. We can learn so much by looking at, studying, thinking about the Ten Commandments, even what are often called some of the obscure or odd-sounding laws in Exodus and Leviticus. Jesus said nothing will be done away with in the law. Nothing. And that we need to pay attention to the law. And Jesus gives us a way that we as disciples of Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior, he has given us principles of how to understand and interpret and apply those principles to our life. We can't follow everything directly. There are some things about the temple we can't do because there is no temple. There are some things about the temple we shouldn't do anyway because we're Gentiles and not Jews. And now you might be a Jew listening, and I'm glad you're listening. And you know, this is one of the things that gets so confusing. When Christians talk about the law has been done away with, do you understand that that's offensive to religious Jews who believe this is God's word to them and seek to follow it and practice it because it is God's word to them? And nothing in the Christian message in the New Testament says that it has been done away with. So that's what we've been looking at in Romans 7. Paul does say, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another." So many people will say, see, we've died to the law. Okay, which law? And that's what we've looked at. Paul talks about different laws in this chapter. Paul talks about in Romans 7, for an unbeliever, for someone who hasn't yet been saved by Jesus, there is a law at work in me, he says in Romans 7:23, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And Paul has clearly said that the law of sin is not the law of God, is not the written word, is not the commandments. The commandments are good and holy. The law of sin takes the commandments and uses them to put me to death, to make me incapable of following God's law, to make me a slave of sin and disobedience to God's law. But thanks be to God, we finished with yesterday, that he delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now I'm no longer a slave to sin. Now I'm free to follow God's law. And Romans 8 makes that absolutely clear. You have to read all these verses in context. And Paul is still explaining when he gets to Romans 8, where he writes, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You see, that's what we're saved from. This is one of the best verses in Romans, by the way. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." None. That means when you are saved by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, by this we are saved. What are you saved from? You're saved from the power of sin. What is the power of sin over your life? It's this corruption, this fallen nature in you that leads you to break God's law, that leads you into separation from God, that leads you to condemnation, the inability to follow God, to have a relationship with God, to know God, and ultimately to physically die and then be condemned by that God and sentenced by that God into just punishment. But now there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus has set you free from that. Not only has he forgiven you of sin, but he also, when you believe in him, frees you from the power of sin. And Paul goes on, he says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." You see, there are many different kinds of laws in Paul's language here. He's not always referring to the law of God in the written word in Scripture, in the Bible. He is contrasting being under the law of the Spirit who gives life with the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, as we've seen in verse after verse in Romans 6 and 7, is something different than God's law. It's what causes us to sin against God's law. And we're free from that now. Now we are under the law of the Spirit. Verse 3 says, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, Now he's talking about the commandments in the Bible. It was weakened by the flesh. What it was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right, so we as Christians now are no longer under the power of sin. Now we don't live according to the flesh. Now we live according to the Spirit. Now we're set free from the law of sin and death. Now we have the Spirit of God in us, enabling us, encouraging us, and helping us to know, understand, apply, and obey God's law. That's the transformation that happens in the life of a Christian. So, do we fall? Yes. Do we always keep God's law? No. This is a process. Paul uses a series of present tense verbs here. For instance, in Romans 8:13, he writes, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Meaning, you're a slave to sin. You're in the old way. You haven't come to faith in Christ yet. You're living according to the sinful things of the flesh. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death, it's a present tense verb here. If you by the Spirit are putting to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So that means that as a Christian, are all the misdeeds of my physical body put to death the moment I become a Christian? No. It is an ongoing process. By the Spirit of God, I am putting to death the misdeeds of the body. My spirit has been set free from the power of sin, my inner will, my desires. I now am free to follow God. I am still attached and am one with this physical body that has sin in it. And so I have to fight against sin. And one by one, I'm putting to death throughout my Christian walk the misdeeds of the body. So the law is good. I want to study the law. I want to delight in the law. This is what Paul said in Romans 7:12. He says, "The law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous and good." This is what Jesus said. "I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And by fulfill, he means, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount that follows, he means give you the complete explanation of what following the law and the prophets looks like. What following the law and the prophets as a disciple of Jesus, the true Messiah, the one whom the law and prophets was pointing to, what it looks like. And Jesus gives this beautiful explanation of the law in the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching his disciples how to follow him. And he says, even the least of these commandments you need to pay attention to and follow. You can't put them all into practice. No one ever could. Even in Old Testament times, you couldn't. No one person could put into practice every one of the Old Testament laws because some of them are for men, some of them are for women, some of them are for priests, some of them are for the Israelites, some of them are for Gentiles, some for Israelites. So you can't, no one person fits into every category, but they are all authoritative. We can learn something from all of them. We can apply them to us in different ways, even if we can't specifically follow them. And they all are there to give us light, to guide us, to give us life, to give us hope, to teach us about the Messiah, who Jesus is, what, how much God loves us, what he has done for us. All the scriptures speak about Jesus. From Genesis all the way to Malachi, you will find passages and stories and allusions and references and metaphors and specific prophecies about who Jesus is. And so I believe it's very important for us to study and benefit from the whole Bible. Well, I pray you have a church you can go to where you can hear good Bible teaching. We encourage you to visit, if you don't have one, at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray for the 9 o'clock service and Fairfax First Baptist Church at the 11 o'clock service. I'd love to help you with counseling, with knowing how to be saved and what the Word of God says to you personally. You can always call the number 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.